Hey guys, what's up? It's Ahira for Epileptics. It is halfway through February. It has been a while since our last podcast, only because I am pretty much spreading them out at this time. We have a lot going on. We're in the process of purchasing property for the first time, which will actually, as I mentioned previously, be very helpful and safe for my husband because we'll be on the first floor. Right now we are on a second floor, so we have to walk up some cement stairs. And then also I wanted to have something that we own before we, you know, hit our next decade of age, and this way we have it under our belt as a goal. So that's one of our goals. You know, we started the nonprofit. We are by purchasing property. And also Bruno, as you know, he had the surgery for the RNS device implanted. So that machine is on. It's on the lowest setting. I believe it can go up to a 6. He's at 0.5 now, so it's basically just at like the lowest level it could be. And we have to track every seizure he has. That is either a cluster, and if you know what a cluster is, that's like 4 or 5 seizures like in a row. So you have a seizure, you come out of that seizure, you go directly into another seizure, and so on and so forth. That's a cluster. And we also have to track his falling seizures, and that can be anything from a collapse, or it could be a falling sideways. Those are all pretty much falling seizures. So what we're doing is taking the day, the time, and where it happened, and like kind of a description of what we're seeing to see if that can help. Because, so with a device in his head, we have to scan his head every night. We have a laptop that is specific to the device. It has literally one app on it. So what we do is there's a little wand. He has to hold it against his head. It has it's wired. It's a USB plug-in. So he has to hold it against his head. It'll scan any seizures he had from the last time we scanned his head until the present time. So, because we try to do it every day. We do it every day, actually. And there's people that do have the RNS that it's unfortunate that they're not scanning every day, or at least every few days, or they're not scanning for months, because it actually hurts them. And we are very proactive. We want the system to work as best as it can, so, you know, Bruno can get the right treatment, and we can increase and they can adjust the RNS for whatever they want to do. So it's a disservice if you're not using it properly. And also, it's after it's a serious surgery. It's not as dangerous as some other brain surgeries, because you're not going in the brain, but you still have to go into surgery. You have to open up the skull. They remove part of the skull for the battery. So this isn't like 1, 2, 3, oh, whatever kind of thing. I mean, we take it very seriously. I even told them, I'll scan it 2 times, 3 times, whatever you want, we will do it, because it doesn't take that much time for us to scan. We're in the privacy and comfort of our own home, and we'll do whatever you want if it helps him. And I'll do whatever it takes to help him, within reason, obviously, but we'll do whatever it takes to see if we can get him better. And then the data that they do look at, so when we upload the data, it goes into the cloud. So the neurologist, Dr. Ruben Kuznicki, his neurologist, can pull that data down from the cloud, examine it, look at the different spikes where he had seizures and so forth. So the idea of us marking down some of those more major seizures is so that we can see at that time and space what actually that seizure looked like the spike, you know, how long it took for it to kind of develop. So you'll kind of see that in the data, the brain waves, and then when it spiked, and then also how long it took to come out of it. So if we have that information written down, we can literally examine those, and maybe they can pinpoint those seizures directly with a device and adjust the setting, so that we can see if we can stop the falling seizures or the clusters. Bruno doesn't really have too many clusters. Right after the surgery, he had a couple of days in a row, but more or less he doesn't really have those, but the collapsing ones and falling ones, he does. You know, we're tracking those very carefully. So it's very important that we stay on top of that. So I'm actually taking what I put in my phone. I made a notes page on my iPhone. And I'm going to take, he has the My Seizure Diary app on his phone, so I'm going to combine everything together into that app so that we have it readily available for when we meet with the doctor. Now, my mother-in-law also is with Bruno a couple of days a week. He stays with her when we don't have the caregiver because we don't need the caregiver every day because she's around and she's not with a baby, so it makes more sense and we don't have to have the caregiver around. And Bruno's more comfortable with family and stuff like that anyway if we need to. So, you know, she also has a list of days and times and seizures that he's had. So I'm going to take that document as well and put that with everything else we have. So we have one set of notes so that we can see in the information, because we're going to go through it with the doctor because we don't have access to the actual data. We're uploading the data, but we can't see what the data looks like, which is fine. I don't need to look at spikes in his seizure patterns. I'll probably end up looking at it way too often and becoming obsessed with looking at it, so it's better that we don't. But the good thing is he can then make decisions, and we have knowledgeable decisions we can make based on analysis, which is very important. And I mean, I do that at my job now. You know, we make decisions after we test something, so we actually have almost like a benchmark or base for the data, and then we can go from there. So it's pretty much the same type of thing with the device. So, you know, Bruno, he's been okay. The back of his skull, they had to make like the U-shaped incision. It's a large mark. There was 70 staples in it. His hair pretty much grew back over it. You can barely see the line, but it's also very sore still. And also the skull area where it was, it's starting to get harder. The liquid underneath is starting to get harder in between, but it's going to take a while. So he has to wearing like this bike helmet, like a really thick one that is used a lot. It can even be used for like snowboarding because it has, it's not just a regular bike helmet. It has like a longer back to it. So it covers his whole back of his head. So he has that, but now he has a baseball helmet actually, which baseball helmets are really good too because they do stay on your head. And thank God for that, because today he did go down to the bathroom and he fell sideways off the chair. And unfortunately, I'm usually in the bathroom, but this time, everyone was calling me at once. So I was answering my phone. I walked away for like a second. Literally, it takes a second and then the seizure happens and boom. So he went underneath where the sink is. We have like almost like a vanity area to our sink, and then there's like little cabinet drawers on the side. It's a very old model sink, but it's also very sturdy, thank God. And I have the whole thing cushioned, all the corners, but his helmet didn't come off and he just kind of pushed out the drawers, which I just like pushed back in. And he was fine. I didn't see a mark on him or anything like that. The other thing we have to be really careful about is, as his hair is growing back, he did need a little bit of a haircut or a trim. So, you know, it's not really time to take him to the barber because, you know, the barber pushes your head around, moves you. Even if you tell him, listen, please be careful, it's not really their job to be, you know, they're not going to be as sensitive as someone who was directly there during the surgery.